all over the world. It's the same in every language. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do this morning. We'll be in the 107th Psalm. Good to hear the pitter-patter of little feet going downstairs. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. That is. That's what it's all about. I love the Psalms. You can find some good stuff in the Psalms. Amen. You can go to the Psalms and you can get help when your soul needs. I mean, you can go anywhere in the Bible and get help. Don't get me wrong, but those Psalms, they speak to my heart. And I love the 107th Psalm. It's the beginning of what we would call the fifth book of the Psalms. The book of Psalms is divided up into five books, and it's the beginning of the fifth book. And I believe it sets the tone for that fifth book. I believe it sets the tone for service to God and for rejoicing in the goodness and the glory of God. And I'm interested this morning in this 107th Psalm and a phrase that we find repeated throughout it. And we're going to go ahead and begin reading in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let me say something. If you're in here and you're saved this morning, you're going to want to say so. You're going to want to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Now, whether or not you're being obedient to the Spirit and doing so, I didn't say that, but I said you're going to want to. Amen? Right. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in wilderness and in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Amen? He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. That phrase that we just read in the 8th verse is repeated in this psalm 4 times. And I'm going to continue to read throughout the psalm, but I want you to think of between each time that that is mentioned, between each time that that phrase is used, I want you to read these scriptures, and I don't want it to be just another Sunday morning message, another just sit through the pew and listen to the preacher till he gets done saying what he has to say. I want it to be real, and I want it to be personal in your lives, and I want you to think of yourselves in place of this psalmist this morning, in between each of these verses, in between each of that phrases that we find. I believe that we can see the goodness of God and why we have reason this morning to pray. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contempted the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses.
Amen.
He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them. Amen right there. And delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. and they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm calm, so that the waves are ever still. Then they are glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
Let's pray. God, we love You in here this morning. Lord, I thank You for the good service. I thank You for the sweet spirit, Lord, and the fellowship that's in here this morning. Lord, I thank You for the good singing. Lord, I thank You so much for just allowing us to be here together, Lord. And God, I pray that as I preach, Lord, that You just help me to preach the words that You want me to say, God, please. Lord, I pray that You just get me out of the way, crucify this wicked flesh, God, and help me, Lord, just to be filled with Your Spirit in such a way that I would not say anything that doesn't need said, God. And Lord, I pray that You help me to preach this morning with power, with love, with a sound mind, Lord, as we try and magnify and lift You up, Father, for You and You alone are worthy, even of so much more than we could ever give You, God. We are so worthy, and we thank You for Your goodness and Your graciousness and the wonderful works You've done to us, the children of men. Lord, help us to praise You and to worship You this morning. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. I'm interested this morning in that single thought, and if there were a title for this message, it would be that, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." Amen. So many times I mentioned as we were getting ready for the church service, we were leading into how much I love Wednesday night church and how important it is to me, because I need charged up, I need refueled through the week. Amen. And I think that oftentimes what happens to us is our jobs and the world and the outside circumstances of this world will weigh down on us and bear down on us, and it will steal our praise from us, okay?
Amen.
You go in the book of Amos in chapter number 5, and the Bible talks about how that they made gods unto themselves, amen? When we take anything and we make it more important to God, more important than God, it steals our praise. He says, "I will not smell your sacrifices and your burnt offerings." He said, "I won't hear your singing and your solemn assemblies." He said, "I don't want anything to do with that." And we talk about this 107th Psalm, and we talk about the psalmist and how he poured his heart out to God, and as how he was praising God, and how it was almost a prayer, if you will, as he was saying, "Oh God, that men would praise You." So many oftentimes we quote that verse and said, "Wilt Thou not revive us again?" And the latter part of that verse says that Thy people may praise Thee, or that Thy people may rejoice. Amen. A lot of times I fear that the church of today has lost its shout. It's lost its praise. Amen. And I'm not talking about coming here and stirring up your flesh and doing whatever I can to put on a show and having fog and lasers and drum sets and things of that nature. I'm not talking about getting people's emotions stirred up, okay? I'm talking about real praise and worship, amen? I'm talking about something that sticks with you after you walk out of these doors, amen? Something that helps you to leave singing, amen?
Amen.
He says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And as you and I look into this psalm, I believe what we see in here this morning is pictures of our own lives and things that God has done for us that so many oftentimes are overlooked. The blessings of God. Man, we'll pray about something and we'll fast about something, and it might seem awful big to us, but in the grand scheme of things, it's minuscule. It's not going to matter in eternity. It might be something as small as getting a bill paid or getting this taken care of or getting that taken care of. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there are mighty big blessings that God gives us every single day that we overlook. Amen. And I believe that if we'd really focus our hearts and our minds on everything that God has done for us and everything that God has taken us from and redeemed us from, then we'll praise the Lord. Amen. We'll be just like this psalmist says, "Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men." And we find the first time that that's mentioned in this psalm in the 8th verse. And I'd like to read the next couple of verses between where we find it for the second time. And I'd like to see that we have His redemptive work to praise Him for. His redemptive work to praise Him for. Verse number 9. "For He satisfieth the longing soul," amen, "and filleth a hungry soul with goodness." The Bible says in Matthew Chapter number 5, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We talked about it last Sunday morning. We talked about the prodigal son. He went to that far country and he yoked up with the citizen of that far country, and he went to places where God told him not to go. And the Bible says that there began to be a famine in that land and he began to be in want. You can't go out in the world and expect to get fed like you get fed in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
And for years, people will spend their entire lifetimes trying to bring peace into their own souls. They'll do it through money. They'll do it through relationships and the lust of the flesh. They'll do it through hobbies, and they'll spend all this money and they'll invest and they'll pour every bit of their substance and their entire lives into these things that cannot bring them peace. I think I've shared this illustration before. I had a buddy. He had a son, and his son was learning colors and shapes and letters, and he had one of those toys that had all the holes in it. You know what I'm talking about? The triangle and the square and the rectangle and the circle and the moon and all those things. And he would take them, and he said he was sitting on his couch one day and he was watching that little boy as it was a trial or error type of system. He would take it and he would try to put that shape in there and it wouldn't fit. And he said he'd grab another shape and he'd just keep going until he got those shapes inside of that box. And he said this particular toy that they bought, he said, had a cross-shaped hole in it. And he said he sat there and he watched as his little boy grabbed that circle and he tried to put it where that cross goes and it wouldn't fit. And he put it down and he grabbed the square and he tried to put it where that cross goes and he tried his best, but it wouldn't fit. So you and I are designed, amen. God created men to be holy, amen. Now, we lost that. We lost the image of God in our first father, Adam. We're all born into sin. We realize that. And that until we're quickened by the Spirit of God, we cannot live a life that's holy and pleasing to God. But let me say this. Your every fiber of your being calls out and yearns for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Every one of us is incomplete until God comes into our heart and makes Himself real in our lives. The Bible says, He says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. I praise God this morning for His redemptive work. It says, He filleth, amen, He filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Listen to this in verse number 11. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Ain't nobody in here this morning born a Christian.
Amen.
Okay? Your papa might have been a preacher. Your daddy might have been a preacher. You might have a godly heritage that goes all the way back to wherever. But you're not born a natural birth a Christian, okay? Every single person in this room is a sinner. And because we're a sinner and that great debt is owed to God, every single one of us, if we got what we deserved this morning, would be in hell without a chance, okay? And the psalmist, he realizes that. He says, well, look what it says. Because they rebelled against the words of God. You and I rebel against the holy commandments of God and His divine law every day of our lives. We do things that are sinful in the sight of God.
Right.
Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. My friend, the fall of Adam was a fall that we could not pick ourselves up from. But I'm glad for what the psalmist says. He says, and then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. And you say, preacher, that's the Old Testament. That sounds a lot like Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13, where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Heaven ain't somewhere you can work yourself to, okay? The old country singer years ago, he sang that song, working hard to get to heaven. My friend, no matter how hard you work, you'll never make it to heaven. Because we're unholy. We're unholy. We're without God. The Bible says that there are none, that there are none righteous, no, not one. There are none that seeketh after God. The Bible says, Paul said, "In my that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." No good work that we could do. The Bible says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. That was a fall that was suffered of all of creation and all of humanity that we could not bring ourselves up to in God. Even back in the Old Testament, amen, in the 107th Psalm, the psalmist says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them." I love that word, saved. Saved, saved, saved by His power divine. Amen. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. We talked about in Ephesians chapter number 4 this morning. We were teaching in Sunday school. My goodness, I'm about to get excited right here. He said that He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto all men. The greatest captives that would have held you and I back, that would have stood between you and I, that would have taken that bridge and set up that middle wall of partition, so to say, between you and I, or between us and God. Death, hell, and the grave, it didn't matter what it was. Nothing could stand against the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He rose that third day, and when He ascended to the Father, He conquered those things for you and I. Those bands were broken asunder, amen. We were unholy, we were without God. We transgressed against His divine law, but He redeemed us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood.
Amen.
Even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace.
That's it.
There's this fellow I like to read after. His name's Dr. M.R. DeHaan. M.R. DeHaan was a medical doctor in Chicago when he got saved. And back in the day when they did house calls and they did things like that. Well, M.R. DeHaan got the gospel preached to him. He got saved and he gave his whole life to the ministry and to serving God and to preaching. And for years he traveled and preached, and he wrote some real great books. And much like Luke, the man that God used to pen the third of the Gospels, M.R. DeHaan had an interesting perspective on the gospel because of his medical background, because of his scientific studies. I don't believe God is scared of science, amen?
Amen.
I believe you study enough science and you study enough God, you'll see the bridges between, amen?
Amen.
And M.R. DeHaan, he wrote this book, and if you want to get it and read it, I'm telling you, it's a good read. It's called The Chemistry of the Blood.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The Chemistry of the Blood. Yes, sir. And he made an interesting statement in that book. He said this. He said, it's the way that God designed the body of a woman and how she can carry a baby is a fascinating, miraculous thing. And he went into great detail about how that baby is nurtured and how that baby grows and all those things. And he talked about that umbilical cord, okay, that goes from that mother to that baby. And that umbilical cord, that's where that baby gets all of its nutrients. That's where it gets the all of its food, all of its nutrition, all of its water, all of its hydration, everything that child in the womb, and it is a child, amen?
Amen.
Everything that child needs to survive in that womb passes through that umbilical cord. But he said, something interesting I learned in medical school, he said, there's one thing that doesn't pass through that umbilical cord. He said, it's blood. He said, no blood comes through the umbilical cord. Everything else that baby needs goes through there, but not blood. He said the blood is developed from that first or that second chromosome. Okay? Everybody's made out of two chromosomes. Everybody is. God made women and He made men. Men are XY and ladies are XX, okay? And that second chromosome is the one you get from the father. And everything that baby needs to develop a system to make its own blood comes from that second chromosome.
Amen.
And I hope y'all get where I'm going with this.
Amen.
Because when our Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and died and shed His blood, that was not the blood of a good teacher, okay? That was not the blood of a mere prophet. That was not the blood of a mortal man. That was the blood of God. It was not the sin-cursed blood of Adam that fell from Calvary's cross. It was the oh-so-divine blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, had it been the sin of, had it been the blood of just a preacher or a teacher or a good shepherd, so to say, it would have had no sin cleansing power. There'd have been no hope for you and I, and we would not have been able to be redeemed in the sight of God. But I'm glad this morning that I can stand and lift my hand and say, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
I'm glad this morning for His redemptive work. Hey, if the only thing God did for us was save our souls from hell, that'd be enough to praise Him for eternity.
Amen.
Not only should we praise the Lord for His redemptive work, amen? We find that phrase again in verse number 21. Amen. All the men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now, in between what we found being His redemptive work and these two phrases, we find the psalmist gives us another reason to praise the Lord. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Listen to this. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. You ever hear somebody say, well, they did it to themselves. Well, they brought it upon themselves. My friend, any trouble that you and I are going to have in this life, oftentimes it's brought upon us by ourselves. Amen. There was a preacher some years ago. He was preaching, and he was from the pulpit, and he was a real well-known preacher in Greenville, South Carolina. And he made this statement. He said, you come next Sunday morning, he said, I'm going to name the man from the pulpit who's given me more trouble than anybody in my ministry. He's been a thorn in my side for years, and I'm going to name him from the pulpit Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, brother, aunts and uncles and cousins by the dozen showed up that Sunday morning. There were news crews there. They had cameras in the back. And that preacher, he got up to preach, and he said he was going to call out that man's name, and he said his own name.
Amen.
He said, it's the man I look at in the mirror every morning. He said, it's the man I get up and shave every single morning. He says, it's that man that's given me more trouble than anybody. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Many a times we lean on our own wisdom. We lean on our own understanding. We lean on what we think is best, and we walk our own path, Brother Bill, and it finds us in a place of despair. It finds us in a place of heartbroken desperation. And many a times if we just listen to God and follow God, we'd save ourselves from all that trouble.
Amen.
We praise God this morning not only for His redemptive word, but for His revelatory word. So where do you get that at, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distress. Look at verse number 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. My grandmother, before she passed away, her favorite verse in the Bible was the 105th verse of the 119th Psalm. And it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I had the privilege of working in the church camp ministry when I worked at Taze Valley. I'm not a mean guy, okay? I'm not mean. Y'all know that. But I was the disciplinary guy for some reason. Nobody else would tell those kids to settle down and go to sleep. No. So they put me in the cabin with like the 5 and 6 year old boys. And them kids, you've never seen anybody have to get up so many times in the middle of the night. And I got to figuring out soon enough after that first night that we stayed in that cabin that if one of them got up, I was going to have to get up because I had a flashlight. You can't let them boys have flashlights. It'll look like a laser show in there in the middle of the night. But I had the flashlight, so if one of them got up, I had to get up, I had to walk to the bathhouse, and I had to hold the flashlight so they could see. Or else they'd get up in that cabin in the middle of the night, and they'd be bumping into everything and running into everything, and they'd make another kid mad, and they'd trip over a suitcase, and then they'd be crying, and they'd be hollering, and they'd be upset, and we'd have this big, giant uproar at 3 a.m. And how foolish is it that so many times we think to ourselves, we can take care of the things of this life on our own, that we don't need this book, amen? Many a times we pillow our head on a Sunday night and think, well, I went to church twice today. I don't need to read my Bible.
Yeah, come on.
I heard a Bible preached twice today, 2 or 3 times. I went to Sunday school. I don't need to read my Bible tonight. Or many a times they say, well, I prayed today. I don't need to read my Bible tonight. My friend, we are a wounded, fallen, depraved people. The Bible says in the 20th verse, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I'm reminded in the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, about the story of the centurion's servant. This is a Gentile man that came to Jesus. And the Bible says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered the Lord, listen to the words of this man. He said to the Lord, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Man, I want to have a faith that God looks at and says, wow, that boy believes what he's preaching.
Yeah.
He believes those prayers he's praying. He really believes that.
Amen.
Jesus marveled and said unto them that followed. Jesus was talking to this centurion. He said, wait a minute. He said, they got to hear this. And he cried out. He said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish converts and all these people that are following Jesus are looking at him and they're saying, he's talking about that centurion. He's talking about that Gentile. He's talking about that godless Roman. You know what that Roman did? You know how he displayed his faith? He said, if you'll speak your word alone, it's enough to heal my servant.
Amen.
And man, we can wave our banner as Bible-believing, fundamental, independent Baptists, and we can say we believe the Bible, but do you? We get to heaven and God says, you say, God, I believed every word of your Bible. He said, well, why didn't you read it? He sent His word and He healed them. My friend, I can't tell you. I'll never know on this side of eternity how much trouble this book has saved me from. How many nights I was stirred up in my flesh and right there early as I tried to get on serving the Lord and I was still thinking about the ways of the world and I was still thinking about all the things I used to do and all the sin I used to get into and the devil would say, it's no fun sitting at home by yourself. It's no fun. You did this, you did that. You've had your religious experience. Now go on and get back out there and sin. I can't tell you how many times this book has rescued me from making terrible, terrible mistakes. This book is precious to me this morning.
Amen.
He sent His word and healed him. How precious is it to you? Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful, for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Not only do we praise Him for His redemptive work and His revelatory word, we'll go down a little bit further before He says it for the fourth time. And let them sacrifice sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to read this slow because I want it to sink in for us. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and the wonders of the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Listen. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are stilled. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. And for the fourth and final time in this psalm, the psalmist cries out, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. My friend, this morning we have the redemptive work to praise Him for. We have the revelatory word, but I'm glad, hallelujah to God, we have rest for the weary. Rest for the weary. The old songwriter said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And if you're in here and you've been saved by the grace of God and you know it and the Holy Ghost of God lives in your heart and bears witness, there was a time and a place when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you were saved by His grace. That's a truth for you as well. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place where he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. He wasn't promised. He didn't receive the promise, as it said. Amen? He didn't know where he was going. He was just following God.
Amen.
When God called me to pastor this church, I didn't know any of you guys. I had no connections with this place. I was just walking through an open door that God had opened for me, and I'm telling you, I'm glad that I obeyed the Lord and came here. It's been one of the best experiences of my life.
Amen.
Abraham is following God. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him of the same promise. I like verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And to the saints of old in here who have walked with God longer than I've been alive, you served God longer than I've been alive, longer than I've been saved, I imagine you grow weary. I grow weary of this wicked, wicked world.
Yes,
Brother Rob's testimony in Sunday school this morning, when we see the wicked increase and the wicked come to power and all these great things happen to these terrible, 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 sinful, wicked people. We question ourselves and we think, how long, Lord, is this going to go on? How long will this judgment be reserved? My friend, this is not our home.
Amen.
This world is not our home. It might sound simple and it might sound practical. And if you came to get something deeper theological this morning, I promise you I don't have it, but I'll say this, and I mean it. Heaven's a real place. Heaven is a real place. God is real. Heaven is real. The gospel is true. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive this morning.
Amen.
And there is a place where weary hearts will go to rest forever. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter number 14, He comforted His disciples. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Right. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And the way I go, and whither the way I go, ye know. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. You're saved. Your eternal home is already fixed. It's already there. It's already waiting. And God's called you to service with this time He's given you here on earth. Don't waste this time God's given you to breathe His air and walk on His ground. Amen.
Amen.
Every day God gives you is a day of mercy and of grace. But there's a place of rest for the weary. There was a man years and years ago in the 17th century, he came over on the Mayflower. You read the Mayflower Compact, and I understand there was religious persecution going on over there, but that's not why they fled. You read that Mayflower Compact, it says that they came to this land for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's what sent them across that sea. And you read the stories of the Mayflower, okay? And it's not all Charlie Brown and the Pumpkin Patch. It's not all happy and joyous like we make it out to be when we celebrate it every year.
Amen.
That was a terrible thing they went through. That was a terrible thing that they endured. You know, the first ship that they had that they wanted to sail from, they bought brand new. Those people brought their money together and they bought this ship brand new. And they set sail, and a day and a half later they had to turn around and come back to the harbor because it was leaking. They got it fixed. They tried to go out a second time. It started leaking before they even got out of the dock. And they came back. And the only resort they had to get to America was a schooner. It was a cargo ship called the Mayflower. And it was going there. and it was going somewhere else, and there was no round trip involved. If you got on that boat, you were in it for the long haul, okay? And it wasn't like you could. Ruthie and Jason, y'all are getting ready to go to London, right? How many hours is your flight? 12-hour flight to cross the Atlantic Ocean, okay? They did not have that comfort and luxury. They got on this boat, and they crammed down in the cargo space of that boat that had carried wine. And I don't know if you've ever smelled a still or sour mash. I know this is Kentucky, and they got the bourbon country or whatever it is. But you go past one of them places, it reeks. It's disgusting. I remember I went down to South America to Guyana, and every day we had to drive past the rum distillery, and I would smell that, and I'm telling you, it would cover everything for like a 5-mile radius, just this horrible stench. And all that wine and those bottles had busted and seeped into the wood of that Mayflower, and it began to rot, and it began to stink, and that stench was all closed off by those wooden ship doors. And those people were locked down inside of that ship for weeks. Not only that, they were locked down inside of that ship. I heard stories of how God protected that ship as it made its way to America, because they went through some crazy storms. Terrible, great waves and winds and storms, and the temperatures would raise and the temperatures would drop, and people would die just from that alone, being trapped in that cargo. There was nowhere to go to the bathroom. They did not have that luxury. Many a times people got sick and would vomit, and there was nothing they could do about it. People would die, and they would lay there for hours and sometimes even days before people would realize that they were dead, and they'd have to throw them overboard. This was not a pretty sight. And there was a man on that ship who was on, he was on there for a few days, and he had about all he could handle. His name was John Howland. You can look him up. His name was John Howland. And that man was on that ship, and he got so stir-crazy, he got so sick of everything and how rough it was on that ship, that he decided he was going to go up to the top. And they tried to stop him. They said, "It's storming." They said, "It's cold." They said, "You're going to get knocked off of that ship." They said, "You're a goner if you go up there." He said, "I don't care." And he went up there, and soon after, he was thrown overboard. And they mourned and they cried because their friend, their father, their brother had been thrown overboard by the waves. And they got out of that storm and they got into a calm. And one of the deckhands noticed that one of the ropes dragging into the ocean was pulled taut. It was tight. And he went over to that rope and he began to pull it in, and he couldn't remember dropping an anchor or dropping a weight. And as he pulled that in, he saw that man, John Howland, white as a ghost. His lips and his nose were solid blue from the hypothermia that set in on his body, and he had tied that rope around his wrist, and he was being drugged by the Mayflower. They pulled that man up on the ship. He'd been there for hours, Brother Larry. They were sure that he was dead. They got him up on that ship, and one of the medics got over to him and started listening very closely, and he was breathing. They got him down on that ship. They lit some candles. They were trying to get everything set up. They did CPR. They pumped all the water out of his chest, and they got him to a place where he was breathing pretty steadily, but he was non-responsive. He couldn't seem to feel anything that they were doing. He was dead to the world. And as the days began to go by, it only seemed to get worse and worse and worse. And he would see, his body would seize from that hypothermic shock that he went through for hours. And he would get sick. And when he finally got over that, they said that a fever came over him. They said that fever was so bad, you could stand within feet of him and feel the heat coming off of this man. They said, why are we even carrying him still? He's dead weight. Just throw him overboard. What's the point anymore? But shortly before the Mayflower got to Plymouth Rock, John Howland came too. He woke up. And they said, "John," they said, you've been so sick, we thought you were going to die. And the storm, it threw you overboard. He said, "I know, I remember." He said, "It was terrible." And I can imagine one of his family members, as they knelt down by his bedside there, said, "It's okay, John. They say we're close." They say we're nearing the shore. They say it's just going to be a few more days. And he laid there sick, unable to move, unable to eat, unable to drink. But I'm telling you, friend, if there was anybody on that boat that was thankful when they felt the bottom of that boat brush against the sands of Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts, if there was anybody that was faithful when that the door to that upper deck opened up and that sunlight shone in, and he was able to walk out of that ship and set his feet on that land that they've been telling him about for so long, that land that they've been talking about, that place that was promised to them. Hey, they never promised them that the ship ride was going to be easy, okay? He never promised them that the way across the ocean wasn't going to be rough. And sometimes in life, listen to me now, sometimes in life there's going to be storms, there's going to be trials, there's going to be times when you want to give up on God, there's going to be times when you want to give up on your family, there's going to be times when you want to get out of church and quit praying and quit reading your Bible. But I say to you, keep pressing on, keep pressing on, keep pressing on. There's rest for the weary. Amen.
Amen.
He brought them to the desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. I'm glad that this is not the end of the story for us. I'm glad that there is a place called heaven. Amen? That there is a rest for the weary. Church, we have so much to praise the Lord about. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, there's nobody looking but me. Now, if you're anything like me, there's times that you don't feel like praising the Lord. There's times you get discouraged. There's times you get disgruntled. There's times you get downhearted. I'm glad in those times that we have the Bible. Amen. I'm glad that I can praise the Lord for His revelatory word. I'm glad that I have a Savior in heaven who died and shed His blood to pay for my sins. And I'm glad, hallelujah to God this morning, that heaven's a real place. And that's where my Jesus is. And I'm looking forward to going there to be with Him forever and ever and ever. My friend, it is not a long time. It's not a really long time. It is forever. I tell you, if it's real to us in here this morning, there's some of us that need to come to the altar and say, God, thank You. God, I just want to praise You. I want to thank You that You'd be good, so good to someone like me. God, that You'd save me. God, that You'd go to the cross and die for my sins. God, that You'd change my life and take me out of all that wickedness I was in. Maybe you're in here this morning and there's been times in your life and you're like me and this book right here in your hand has rescued you from making some bad decisions. Rescued your life from being wrecked and tormented. I invite you to come this morning. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Maybe you're in here this morning and you're like me and you get tired of this wicked world. You think, how long, Lord, until You call us home? How much longer, Lord? And you want to thank God that there's rest for the weary. There might be one of you in here this morning. Let's say, preacher, I believe what you preached. I believe that Bible. I believe that book. But if I'm being honest in front of God this morning, I don't even know if I died if heaven would be my home. I don't know that I've ever truly been saved by the grace of God. If that's you in here this morning, just be honest and slip up your hand and say, pray for me. There's nobody looking but me. Just slip it up. No matter what the person next to you thinks, you just raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I need to get saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand?